Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you and I ever celebrate any holidays? It's 4th of July and I never... Do you have plans?
I'm going to go to a friend's house, but just because I don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, I feel like whatever holiday comes, it's like, what are you doing? Me? Nothing. You?
Is this old age?
I guess so.
Pass the fixident. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, are you having a party? Great. Will there be Metamucil?
And welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where we are aging rapidly. Also, my daughter told us that we're very funny for millennials.
Thanks. And we're not millennials. We're Gen X.
Well, she says we have millennial humor. And she goes, Mommy, you're funny to some people. I was like, well, you know what? The stupid TikToks you send me make no sense. So I don't know what your words are. I don't know what you're talking about. And leave me alone.
Listen, Gen X is the best generation and I will die on that hill.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing says I had a good childhood like come and look at my Commodore 64. Okay? If you know, you know.
You have not lived till you drink water out of a hose.
You all, we are I Think Not, the podcast where me, Ellen Marsh, and Joey Taranto recap your favorite true crime. I was about to say podcasts. No, that's not what we do. We recap your favorite true crime TV shows, and we sure are happy you're here. We are smack dab in the middle of our coverage of Playboy Murders, which we also covered on our Patreon. So if you want 10 episodes of that, head over there. But in a mere month, and a month to the day, I think, Joey Taranto and I will be heading out on tour. Do you have your tickets? Have you ever seen a podcast live show? Well, I can say with confidence you've never seen a live show like ours.
That's right. We will be coming to a city near you, and I promise you a good time. If you are like, I don't have anyone to go with, don't worry. Be a solo DB, because once you get there, you will be embraced by our amazing community. We promise you lots of laughs and some booty shaking. So if you're interested in seeing our show, go to ithinknotpod.com. Click on See Us Live and grab your tickets, babe.
If you're in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Raleigh, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Boston, Seattle, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Chicago, Orlando, or Dallas, you have a chance to come see us live. And we really hope you do because it's just that much fun. And I don't think I've actually ever been as confident about anything because I'm the type of person that's like, come see me in a Broadway show. I'll probably be the worst one on stage. That's usually how I approach things, but I can say our live shows, they're pretty fucking fun.
You're gonna have a good time.
And if you're staying home this summer and you feel like a little bit more of Joey and I, and you want to look at our back catalog, which, by the way, I was trying to find a clip from the episode we did with Anthony Rakowski the other day on The Rundown. We have a lot of episodes.
We do.
We have hundreds of episodes. And I don't know if that's a flex or it's something we should be ashamed of, but nonetheless, they're all on our main feed and there's ad-free ones over on our Patreon as well as a ton of really fun stuff over there. So go take a look. Head to www.patreon.com/ithinknot. If you shake your head because I said the WW, I'm going to fly out there. I'm going to buzz that blonde hair and I'm going to make a pillow out of it.
I take back what I said about Gen X being the greatest generation. You just ruined it. www.internet.com.
Let's get to the episode. Season 3, Episode 3 of Playboy Murders, The Centerfold, and The Serial Killer.
Carissa Fair had the perfect look for Playboy in the 2000s. Quintessential girl next door. And that's what they loved.
but she was definitely out of her element.
She seemed like the type of woman who could be easily influenced by others.
She's about to launch this huge career, and now all of a sudden you have homicide detectives trying to talk to you.
Nobody knew a thing. She just disappeared.
This was definitely the most complicated case that I've ever covered.
If you can see the hair on my arms, are standing up right now.
Things just keep getting more and more outlandish. It was just, what the hell is going on?
Well, y'all, we are in my backyard here in Hollywood. We have celebrities, we have premieres, we even have hiking, if that's your thing. What we don't have? Jobs. No one in Hollywood has a fucking job. How do I know? Because the gyms here are packed like it's fucking January 6th from the minute they open to the minute they close. No one here has a job, and I feel it most when I'm waiting for the squat rack. Wrap it up. I got booty cheeks to enlarge.
What's a squat rack?
The fact that you have to ask that means you haven't been doing your squats.
I have never done a squat in my life, and my saggy ass shows it. Is that the thing where you put the barbell and you just squat?
Yeah, on your back and you squat, and it makes your booty and your legs get bigger.
Oh, where you lay on your back and you push. Okay, I was thinking of something else.
No one's laying on their back with a squat.
You just said on your back.
You put the barbell on your back, but you're not laying on your back.
Okay, so I was thinking of the one where you lay down like this and you push like that.
No, that's a press.
That
you know, ever since you got with Thomas, all you think about is being on your back. Do we need to have a talk?
Well, Holly Madison is here to talk about Playboy because she loves doing that. And she's talking about a woman named Carissa Fair. And she was the September Playmate of the Month for the year 2000. And Holly wants to make it very clear that she and Carissa Fair came up around the same time. But she was there a little bit before. Well, this is what she says.
She was a playmate before I came to Playboy, but only slightly.
Yeah, Holly's like, but I was here first.
Yeah.
We see a bunch of pictures of Playboy playmates around the year 2000 with their bleach blonde hair and their teeny tiny eyebrows and their brown lipstick. I have a real actual question, and I don't want you to treat this like a joke.
Okay.
So I want you to seriously weigh in and answer this question.
Okay.
What were we all thinking back then?
With the brown lipstick?
With just everything. The metallics, our makeup, our eyebrows. What were we all going for back then?
In the 90s and the early aughts, we were going for earth tone meets millennium silver. You know what I mean? Like, we were giving you metallics, we were giving you earth tones, we bounced back and forth, and that is the reason why MAC Cosmetics was sold out of Spice lip liner for about 10 years straight.
The Spice lip liner. It was a personality trait.
Oh, it had a chokehold on us.
Absolutely. I just look back and it's just a confusing time. I didn't know sort of what we were going for. But I mean, anyway, it was the millennium and it was a really big deal. And it was 25 years ago. So everyone get your shit together. It was a long fucking time ago.
That's wild.
Let's talk about nutrition, baby. Let's talk about you. I don't think that fits.
No, it's okay.
You all, Faye Nutrition is back.
Let me tell you something. I don't want to think too hard about food. I have specific goals in mind, but sometimes when people start talking about calorie counting or too much protein or too little protein, all that stuff, I check out. And that's why I love Faye Nutrition, because they connect you directly with registered dietitians. So we're talking real food and nutrition experts, and they offer personalized nutrition counseling tailored just for you.
And listen up, if you think something like this comes with a really big price tag, all dietitians on Faye take insurance. So 95% of people pay $0 for their session. Did you hear what I said? Because it was zero. $0.
And listen, everyone has individual goals, whether you're trying to lose weight, gain weight, if you're dealing with low energy, digestive discomfort, managing any sort of specific health conditions, you have food allergies. I'm telling you, whatever it is that you're dealing with, they can help by getting you that personalized guidance, which is essentially foundational support that we all need.
And I know it can be really overwhelming. There is so much thrown at us on social media, on TV, and it feels like a lot of guesswork. But Faye is here, and they will teach you how to fuel your body and just have better health.
Y'all, having a personalized nutritionist used to cost big bucks, but not anymore with Faye.
Listeners of I Think Not can qualify to see a registered dietitian for as little as $0 by visiting FeyNutrition.com/think.
That's FeyNutrition.com/think.
One last time, that's FeyNutrition.com/think, and make sure you use our URL so they know we sent you.
Don't make me think in the kitchen. Well, another playmate named Irina Voronina, I was like, girl.
Voronina. I wrote it out phonetically. Voronina.
Irina Voronina? What the fuck?
No, Irina Voronina.
This sounds like a Dr. Seuss character. Irina Nona Nina, Bacanina, Bonita Brown. Okay, I don't know, whatever the fuck her name is. She don't say too much. She was Miss January of 2001, and Carissa was one of the first playmates she ever met when she landed in LA. And she just goes on to say that Carissa was like your typical California girl, all smiles, blonde. I mean, really a lot of these women, you can see the Pam Anderson effect, because all of them, I wanted to be Pam Anderson in the 90s. Everybody had a barbed wire tattoo. I mean, come on.
Okay. So between Jenny McCarthy, Pam Anderson, and Carmen Electra, the most chaotic icons that you could ever imagine, that was a whole thing. Talk about chokehold. Like, Carmen Electra's out here. She was always wet. I don't know how, but she was always wet. She was always coming out of some kind of water. The lip gloss, the trucker hats.
Uh-huh.
They really solidified the trucker hats, the tiggle bitties, the greasy hair that they made look hot. I mean, again, what a time to be alive.
Hot take. I never enjoyed Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, really? Why?
I just thought she was so obnoxious, and there was something about her that irritated me. And then I was right, because there's a whole slew of kids who never got vaccinated because of her nonsense.
Agree on that. And I kind of agree that she was obnoxious, but I did sort of love that she was really beautiful and really goofy.
Yeah.
Like, we'd never really seen a hot woman be kind of silly. It did kind of fringe on obnoxious, and that whole vaccination thing. She owes so many edible arrangements to so many families. You're totally spot on. But before that, during Singled Out, I was like, oh, look, she's hot and she's like funny and goofy and kind of gross. But I can see what you're saying. Anyway, it was that time, you all. You're welcome.
Well, Miss April 2001, Katie Lohman, is also here. And she says,
I remember when I first met Carissa, I really thought she had like a Nicole Kidman vibe. Because she had this beautiful sort of like strawberry blonde hair. She had very fair skin and a naturally beautiful face, and she was tall.
I can totally see it. Really, absolutely beautiful. And then we get a little bit of a backstory on Carissa.
She grew up in Riverside, California, and she came from a single parent household. And she was actually raised by her dad because her mom left when she was young. But all to say, she was really independent and she focused on school. She even graduated early. And her main reason for focusing on school was she was like, I just want to get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Any way I can. And I respect that. And then they're saying all these nice things about this woman. And then for no reason, they show her on that show, Win Ben Stein's Money. They had a Playboy episode or something. And they show her getting this answer wrong.
In what city is the Pentagon located?
Washington, D.C.
No.
And I was like, editors, can we huddle up for a minute? I mean, why are we shading this poor girl? I don't understand. That definitely could have been left on the cutting room floor. We also learned that Carissa Fair is actually not her name. Her name was Carrie. And she changed her name, and Holly Madison says, you know, that wasn't very uncommon. There was still a stigma around posing nude, and a lot of women did change their name when they wanted to come to Playboy, and Carrie was one of them.
Now, Playmate Arena, Karenina Bovashkova is back, and she says, you know, I do think that Carissa was a bit out of her element, like maybe a little in over her head. You know, Carissa did want to get out of Riverside. She wanted a better life, but she didn't believe in herself all that much, according to Irina, okay? And in fact, it was Carissa's boyfriend, which, by the way, no one knew she had, that sent her pictures into Playboy. And when she was told she would be Miss September of 2000, she was elated. And it's a huge win because, look, you know, Playmates of that time, they were really woven into pop culture. Their Playmates were everywhere. They were on TV. Mm-hmm. They were on TV shows. They were in movies. I mean, it was a big time to be part of Playboy, and you could get a lot of exposure from it.
Right. And Holly is being very sweet and complimentary and looking through her Playboy. And you know all those things we said about all that makeup and that hair and the Carmen Electra of it all? That was not Carrie at all. She was a real girl next door, no makeup, kind of soft. And we see a reenactment of Carissa going into her shoot with a couch full of tulle.
Yeah.
It was like Christian Siriano threw up everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was really beautiful. And not only was being a Playmate, to your point, a really big thing, being the 2000, the millennium Playmates, that was an even bigger deal. They got much more exposure and it went way beyond the magazine. They were hitting the runways. They were doing high-end editorial stuff for W Magazine. And Carissa got to be a part of all that, in addition to all of the other things the Playmates get to do. Living the high life, going to the mansion, going to parties. However, Carissa wasn't really in that sort of world. She wasn't one of the party girls or one of the women on Hef's arm or anything. She was really kind of modest about it all.
She was driving a modest car, like a Honda Civic, which is not very like likely for a girl who's a Playboy Playmate.
Hondas are great cars!
They are great cars. We all wanted a Honda Civic back in the day. Have you seen the updated Honda Accords? They're very beautiful. They really are. Should we call her Carissa or Carrie? What do we want to go with?
That's a good question. I don't know. They kind of go back and forth. Let's call her Carrie?
Yeah, let's go with Carrie. She didn't really hang out at the mansion, which was really odd for a Playmate, right? Like, that's the dream. Before you know exactly what goes on at those Playboy Mansion parties, you're like, oh my God, all the celebrities, these big elaborate themed parties. But she had her own life.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie was a hard worker, you know, and she had her own place in L.A. She was paying her own bills and driving a Honda Civic. It was sort of refreshing to the other girls in a way because she's like, yeah, if y'all want to go shopping at the Beverly Center and spend a ton of money, that's great. I will see you at Kohl's. Kohl's cash goes far.
I have $30 worth of Kohl cash burning a hole in my goddamn pocket. And like you said, Carrie didn't really share a lot of her life with the other women. And the Playmates, they're kind of like a girl gang. They're sort of like a sorority. And we've learned that whenever any women are a little more, not secretive, but they keep their personal life a little closer to the chest, that only piques other people's curiosity a little more. Hang on to that.
You know, it's very interesting because it's a lot like Dolly Parton. I watched an interview with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, and they were talking about when they were doing 9 to 5, right? And Dolly Parton, it was her first movie role.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all got a hotel together at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and they said, first of all, we never saw Dolly without her wig on. Like, when she came out of her room, she was in full Dolly regalia.
I told you about my friend who was a backup singer for her, right? For like 12 years, never saw her out of makeup.
And what Dolly is so smart about is you feel like you have access to her. You feel like you know her. But then when asked, well, what do you know about her personal life? Nobody can answer that question. Nobody met her husband for years.
So true.
So I think Carrie was sort of on that trajectory. Also, she was a bit of an introvert, you know, so imagine trying to navigate all this exposure once her centerfold hit the stands.
Joey, guess what? What? Miracle Made is back.
Nobody wants to sweat all night, and that's why Miracle Made sheets come in clutch, because they are temperature regulating. So that means that your quality of sleep is so much better because you're not waking up too hot or too cold.
Well, I don't know about all that, because I
sleep like a corpse.
Sleep like a corpse. But you know what I don't like? Bacteria. And when I learned the fact that bed sheets harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat, that was enough for me to sleep on the couch till the end of my days, because that can lead to acne, allergies, also gross. Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding. They've got sheets, they've got pillowcases, they've got comforters, and those are going to prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth. So you're not going to sleep in the, what do you always say, funk of 40,000 years? And also, you're going to do less laundry. I love that.
Also, Miracle Made sheets are luxurious. They are comfortable, they're smooth. It's like sleeping on angel cleavage, and who doesn't want that? These sheets are nicer than some of the sheets you find in 5-star hotels. So upgrade your sleep as the weather heats up.
Go to trymiracle.com/thinknot to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
We love that. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made.
Go to trymiracle.com/thinknot and use the code thinknot to claim your free three-piece towel set and save over 40%.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/thinknot and use our promo thinknot at checkout.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Also the bacteria. Ugh.
Generally, Playmates go on tour and sign autographs, take pictures with fans once they are featured in the magazine. And Carrie was no exception. But one day, on one of her stops of her tour in Vegas, some homicide detectives show up with questions for Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, she literally disappeared.
Do you think the homicide detectives were like, Miss Carrie, we need to talk to you. Also, can you sign this? Because I love your titties. If you just sign this and then we'll take you in for questioning, just to Bubba. If you could just say to Bubba, that'd be great.
Well, guess what, y'all? This is a first on Playboy Murders.
Yep. We have covered 13 episodes, and this is for sure a first.
Carrie's here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Carrie Mendoza, Playboy Centerfold, Miss September 2000. It's hard for me to believe what I lived through, and I want to tell my story.
So she picks up this part of the interview right when the police come in at her Vegas stop on her tour. And then she takes us back to Orange County in the 1980s. She explains that she grew up with her dad and her brother. Like I said, her mother left, and she describes herself as a tomboy, which I like to call a young feminist icon.
Mm-hmm.
And she had graduated high school early. And like all stories go, she met a boy and they moved in together. Y'all, don't move in with boys.
Oh.
Not till you're 60.
Okay.
Yeah, they can assemble your IKEA furniture, whatever you need them to do. Don't live with them. Don't live with them. Just don't do it. Till you're 60. When you're 60, find a boy to live with.
You heard it here. You heard it here first. Wait till you're 60.
Could you imagine someone's like 35 and they're like, I would love to live with you, but this podcast host once told me that I just can't. Not for another 15 years. 25 years. I can't do math. Someone shut me up.
Well, Carrie was a baby. She moved in with her boyfriend. And unfortunately, that relationship became very volatile because her boyfriend was violent. He was abusive. Carrie would leave, but this man always found her. He would stalk her, harass her. He slashed her tires while she was at work. And it was her own father who said, honey, I love you. You need to disappear. And she said, say less.
Mm-hmm.
Grabbed her shit and headed to San Francisco, where she knew no one. That's really scary and also really brave.
Well, it's sort of what we've been touching on in the Diddy case.
Yeah.
You know, the Diddy case kept saying, oh, but you didn't leave, but you didn't leave. And it's like the whole world, except for, I don't know, people who listen to true crime or survivors, know that it's dangerous for women to get out of abusive relationships.
Yeah.
Every time she would leave, he would find her. This is what we need to keep repeating. It's not always easy for women to get out of this situation. And San Francisco was the answer. Now, we see flashes of San Francisco, of course, cable cars, the sea lions. And then what did they show, Joey?
They show us those big old houses from the opening of Full House.
Yeah. Those houses until like 2 years ago. They are so missable in San Francisco.
Well, you know, the original lyrics to the opening of Full House was, whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, stinky hippies. That was the original
That's
lyric.
Not the word. No.
It was.
You made that up.
No.
You made that up because you like making fun of me.
No,
that's
Bob
not,
Saget
those
told
never
me
the,
in a...
Bob who?
Bob Saget.
First of all, I thought you said something else and he's dead.
He came through in a Ouija board. I said, who is this? And he was like, it's Bob Faggot Saget.
Do not speak ill of Bob Saget. I don't know. Did he do anything bad? I always have to Google it before I say anything about it anyway. Anyway, she was 21 years old and she got a job as a cocktail waitress. And that's where she met Taylor Helzer.
Taylor Helzer is about 6 years older than her and charming and very successful. And drew the eye of everybody when he walked into her room.
He was a stockbroker for Dane Witter, and he would come in there in a suit and tie and have shots and was just this very vibrant, outgoing person.
Now, Taylor was a regular at this lounge, and one day he left his credit card as a tip with the instructions to buy a nice outfit so he could take her out dancing. What would be your immediate response to that if you were in Carrie's position?
Absolutely not. Never. Keep your money. No way. This comes with strings attached. I don't know if what's happening with this credit card. Are the FBI going to come? I have so many questions. I also have a question as to why they're indoors and there's a cigarette lit.
Well,
indoors.
It was 2001, honey. You could smoke anywhere.
Yeah. Would you ever accept that? Here's my credit card. Go shopping from a stranger?
I would literally look at them and be like, I can buy my own outfit. Eat shit.
Yeah. What if they're tracking you? What if he's committed all this fraud and you go and use the credit card and the cops show up and they're like, this belongs to some Nigerian prince that's been trying to email us for years? Absolutely not. There are dozens of things that can go wrong. I don't know where the Nigerian prince came from, but it's a Rolodex up here. I don't know what's going to come out.
My Lord, it's like true crime meets like the TV series on the CW. What's happening? My gosh. Well, the thing about Taylor is he didn't lead with sex, right? You would think someone like that is, you know, being like, look at this money, I'm being flashy, and then now my whole point is to get you in bed. He actually was interested in getting to know her, and he was a fun guy, super affectionate with Carrie, which she's like, that was something I never had growing up. I wasn't used to it, but I certainly leaned into it. And Taylor has something in common with our other favorite Taylor. He was raised Mormon.
Here's our Venn diagram. This is where it all crisscrosses.
Yep.
And we see the Bay Area Mormon Temple. Now, this is just for my Bay Area folks. If you've ever been to Oakland, you know from all parts of the city and even parts of San Francisco and further east, you can see that Mormon temple. It is huge. It is ornate. There is nothing like it in the rest of Oakland. And I have such a vivid memory because we would go there at Christmas time to see the lights. And it's just really weird to see it on a documentary because you could kind of know where you were in Oakland by looking up and finding this Mormon temple. It's the weirdest thing, Joey, because it's like in a mountain and it's just houses. And this gigantic Mormon temple with these triangles that are gold, you can see it from everywhere. And we always knew that it was a Mormon temple, but I was like, what goes on in there?
Yeah.
It looks like a castle, looks like a modern castle.
We had the same thing in New Orleans. Instead of it being a Mormon tabernacle, ours was just the local Best Buy. Beautiful.
I did hear it was really nice there, that one.
Very gorgeous. Very Venetian. It was lovely. We loved it on Columbus Day. They lit it up. It was gorgeous. What the fuck?
We don't call it Columbus Day in California. We call it Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah,
anyway,
as it should be.
Everybody loved Taylor. More on that later. But he did not love the church, so the show tells us. That is incorrect information. I will tell you about it later.
And eventually he leaves. He moves in with his little brother, Justin, and eventually Carrie. And starts living the kind of life that he believes he should be able to live.
And from there, Taylor was like, you know, I want to try all the things that were forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
He went to clubs, he experimented with drugs, something Carrie had never done either. But then they tell us he did something extremely inappropriate that if someone had done to me, I would have been livid. He offered Carrie some aspirin for a headache that she did not have. And she's like, okay, I guess maybe I do have a headache. I'll take the aspirin. It wasn't aspirin. It was ecstasy. She had never done it. So he took away her choice. Not cool, Taylor. Mm-hmm. But despite that, she was like, I kind of loved it. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't get enough of it. I mean, ecstasy had a chokehold on all of us in the early aughts.
A lot of things had a chokehold on us back then. It's true. She was like, oh no, oh no, it's ecstasy. Oh no, oh. I kind of like it, but that was really fucked up.
That is very fucked up. My first time I ever did ecstasy, I used to go out to the gay bars and I was like, you know, 20 years old. And I had all these friends who would do MDMA, right? And I had a real judgment for drugs. And one day they were like, Joey, we'll make you a deal. We will buy you your first roll. If you try it and you hate it, we'll all stop. But if you like it, shut the fuck up because we're tired of hearing your lectures on it. And I was like, that makes sense. And I took it. And of course, I loved it.
Well, they don't call it ecstasy for nothing. I don't know what that means. You all figure it out. So Taylor and Carrie, their relationship grows and evolves. And Taylor starts to change a little bit.
Yeah.
And he started to scheme and scam and plot and kind of figure out a way to make money and get out of his job and go on disability. And Carrie was not into it. So eventually he quits his really high paying job as a stockbroker. But he had all of these side hustle ideas. And one of those side hustles was Carrie and her modeling career.
Well, a little bit more than modeling, because this man, he was pitching Carrie for Playboy, right? With the intention of creating an escort service for playmates, Carrie included.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that happens in that world, right? There are high-end escort services that do hire playmates or Hef's girlfriends to work for them.
It had already been a year that we had been together. I didn't have stability until I met Taylor. So I was pretty much did whatever Taylor would say.
And we see the pictures from the shoot that Carrie ended up submitting to Playboy. And Taylor took the pictures, and they were really casual. They were in her front yard. She's got brand new Tetons. And the pictures are gorgeous. And, you know, I always say, if bigger Tetons are going to make you happy, get the big old Tetons. I have no judgment. And it actually boosted her confidence. But around this time, as she's starting to feel herself, Taylor is getting much more controlling. And he was on prescription drugs. And so Carrie was a solid woman. She just didn't have a lot of confidence. So she was kind of seeking a little bit more independence. And she was watching this guy change right before her eyes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you mix prescription drugs with alcohol, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people do bonker shit. They actually scare me. And eventually Taylor was really starting to say very wild things like, I should take over the Mormon church. Mm-hmm. The leaders don't know what they're doing. I know which direction they should go in. He also then said he was a prophet of God and he wanted to extort money from his clients because he felt that's what God wanted him to do. I'm sure Carrie was thinking, what I would love for you to do is stop mixing Xanax with tequila chasers because you sound crazy.
Yeah, he was like, the Mormon church is run by all the wrong people. And they had this reenactment. And reenactment Taylor is in his bid to take over the world. It's full on Ren and Stimpy. And they went dead ass Wolf of Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
Reenactment Taylor, he's in a bathrobe in what appears to be a boardroom. He's got sunglasses on. He looks like he's on some kind of a coke binge talking about Joseph Smith and all the apostles or whatever. This director was like, this is Wolf of Wall Street inspired.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Religious trauma and drugs do not mix because it's not a good road to go down.
Someone write that down. Yeah. You know what you don't miss drugs with? Alcohol? No, religious trauma. Mm-hmm. Joey, guess what?
What?
This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack sponsor.
IQBar is the better for you plant protein-based snacks made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash.
You all, IQBar has all of this really great stuff going for it. The bars don't have gluten or dairy or soy or GMOs or artificial sweeteners. They're just natural and great for you, but I just want to talk about how they taste. They are so satisfying. With my ADHD, I forget to eat. I forget to pee. I forget to check my mail. That's a real story. And sometimes I am so starving and I run upstairs and I grab one of those toasted coconut chip or the lemon blueberry or the peanut butter chip. You know what I mean. And it is so satisfying. It's also really great when you travel.
If you don't believe us, just check out the reviews. There's over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting. So more people than ever are starting to understand that you don't want to travel without IQBar. I promise you.
I thought you were going to say, take a look in Ellen's purse. I swear
that
you were going to say that.
Yeah.
And right now, IQBar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQBar products, plus get free shipping.
To get your 20% off, text THINK to 64,000.
Text THINK to 64,000.
That's THINK to 64,000.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. And please don't look in my purse. You will find an IQBar, but you'll also find, I don't know, the remains of King Tut or something. I don't know.
I'm looking right now. Well, Taylor had started selling drugs, and he sort of roped Carrie into that, and she was like, I hated every second of that. This mm-hmm. is not the life I wanted to curate for myself. And she wanted out, but, you know, she couldn't see a way out. She's been here before where she was trapped in a relationship, and she had to move hours and hours away to get away from that man. Well, fast forward to Carrie getting a letter from Playboy.
I thought maybe it was a, thanks for your submission, but we're not interested. But it was the complete opposite. It was, we would love to have you do some test shots. They wanted to see more of me, and I was excited because I wanted to move on without Taylor. But I didn't feel he was going to let me go.
So Taylor's in his place. He's wearing a bathrobe 24/7 or whatever. She was depressed. She didn't really feel like she had a purpose or know what she was doing. Finally, Taylor relented and he said, you know, go to LA, achieve your dreams. She was like, say less.
Yep.
She grabbed her cat, grabbed a couple pairs of Candy's slip-on shoes, uh-huh. and she's on her way to LA. So on the way down to LA, she's making some calls, getting her life in order. She got an apartment. She got a job as a nightclub server. She's ready to start a whole new life, independent and free from Taylor.
So it's February of 2000, and she has her test shoot. And at her test shoot, Playboy's like, we never do this, but we love you so much that we are going to make your test shoot your centerfold. That is a big mm-hmm. deal. That is the equivalent. I'll never forget Natalie Joy Johnson telling the story about auditioning for Paulette and Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
And Jerry, after her audition, said, you got the job. That mm-hmm. never happens.
That happened to me once.
Did it?
Yeah. That's how I booked Priscilla.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Enron had just closed, and Enron was a play on Broadway, you all, and I was, it's a really big deal to be a musical theater actor yeah. and book a play. It was a big moment for me. Well, it had flopped, it had closed, and the next day, they had one spot left in Priscilla that they hadn't cast. The show was cast, and they were looking for one spot, and I was like, whatever, I mean, I'll go. It was a full day of callbacks, so, you know, it was Simon, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, singing, harmonizing, dancing. And Bernie pulled me into the back because he knew I was so devastated from the closing. He goes, can I talk to you for a second? And Bernie and Craig pulled me in the back and he goes, I'm really sorry about Enron closing. And I go, yeah. And he goes, but did you pack up your dressing room? I said, yeah, I packed up my dressing room. And he goes, well, you have to move it into the palace because you just booked it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the only time it ever happened. And I think the only reason it happened was because I had this devastating closing. Wow. But yeah, that happened to me one time. But that never happens.
Yeah. You know, one time when I was in audition for a big Broadway show, and when I was done auditioning, they looked at me and said, thank you, next. So I have that.
That happened to me 180 times, babe. It's okay. Well, you know, one thing that we didn't mention that I thought was really cute, it's not really imperative to the story. Her test shoot for Playboy was the first time she had properly put on makeup.
Yeah.
Even for her little shoot in her yard, she was just this gorgeous natural beauty. She had never put on mascara. She had never put on a face. I was like, that's really fucking cute.
Listen, if you've got to get makeup on for the first time, it's better to do it at a Playboy shoot than do it at your local Glamour Shots. You know what I mean?
That's what my grandmother always said. May she rest.
So yeah, y'all, she booked Miss September and it was, I mean, listen, she was just this fresh-faced beauty. Playboy loves Girls Next Door. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a TV show called The Girls Next Door. Hef was obsessed with the American Girl Next Door and she fit that role perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Hef knew who I was and I was shocked. He was the first one to show me my magazine when it was all finished. And it was so exciting. He took me to his office and showed me the magazine. And I was like, oh my God, this is really happening.
So now we fast forward to the summer of 2000, and she's probably serving Cosmos because that's what we were all drinking in 2000. And in walks Taylor, and she was just floored. And Irina Navratilova says that, you know,
Skovanosha.
It's not an uncommon thing. When you get a little bit of notoriety, especially Playboy, a lot of people come out of the woodwork from your past, including ex-boyfriends. Well, yeah. Carrie was terrified.
So she's thinking, I don't know why this man is here. I don't know how he found me, but I literally will do whatever I have to do to get him out of here.
As soon as she said that, I don't mean to bring this back to the Diddy case, but that's what we kept hearing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to placate him. I didn't want to make waves. I didn't want to make him upset.
Yeah.
I'm only saying this because it's fresh on my mind, because that narrative kept coming up. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? And that's exactly what Carrie said. She just wanted to placate him so he would leave. Sorry, I don't mean to loop everything back to Diddy, but I might do it 6 or 12 more times.
That's fine, baby girl. She just was like, okay, you want to take ecstasy and go to the beach tonight? Fine, I'll do it. And she's like, basically, that's all I remember of that night. But the thing about Taylor is he was an expert manipulator. They really drove that point home. So much so that even Hef was scared for Carrie. And he was like, you know what? We have had issues in the past with playmates being stalked or being killed or, you know, whatever. I'm going to help you because I don't want this for you.
And it's a little contradictory from what we've heard in previous episodes. We've heard this time and time again that Playboy didn't really do that. They didn't really offer the playmates any kind of protection. They kind of were like, hey, get your titties out. We're going to snap you a couple times and good luck. But Holly made a really good correlation because this was right around the Dorothy Stratton tragedy. We covered that season 2, episode 5. And she was that woman who had the big chestnuts and invited her boyfriend to the mansion. Remember, she's like, hey, can my boyfriend come? So Holly was kind of saying this kind of came on the heels of that. So I think Hef was opening his eyes to, oh shit, these are actually human beings that might be in actual trouble, because that brought a lot of bad press to Playboy. So I don't think he was really doing it for the love of sweet Carrie. I think he was doing it for his bottom line and his image.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. Either way, thank God he did, because Hef said, you know what we're going to do, Carrie? We're going to make sure that you are not in the same place longer than 2 days so that Taylor can't find you. And that's what he did. He put her on tour, you know, to promote her issue. She went to Chicago, Texas. She was all over California. She was literally in a new city every 2 days. And here's something I didn't know, that usually a Playmate's issue release or launch or whatever you want to call it would be in their hometown, right? It gets a ton of publicity. But Hef was like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it in Vegas for you.
So back to Taylor, whose real name was actually Glenn. So if you Google it, his name is Glenn Taylor. And turns out, not only was Carrie getting some publicity, so was Taylor Glenn Taylor, because his current girlfriend was missing. And that's when Carrie turned on the news and she sees this.
Selena Bishop was one of those folks you just couldn't miss.
And I see that Taylor's on the news.
They were calling him by his first name, Glenn Pelzer, and asking the public if they had any information.
Locals recently began seeing her with Glenn Pelzer, her boyfriend, who is now a suspect.
I'm over here just in shock.
And so when Carrie sees that, she's thinking to herself, yeah, this all tracks. I didn't know what he was capable of, and that's why I got the fuck out. Joey, guess who's back?
Who?
ZBiotics. You all, you gotta listen up. ZBiotics has made the world's first genetically engineered probiotics. Tell them about it, Joey.
Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, right? And most people are like, I'm so dehydrated. That must be why I feel like poo-poo caca in the morning. No, it's that byproduct. So what pre-alcohol does is produces an enzyme to break that byproduct down, which means you're going to make ZBiotics pre-alcohol drink your first drink of the night. You're going to drink responsibly, and then you're going to be all set for the next day.
And this is science, you all. This was invented by really, really smart people. We're talking PhD scientists that were like, you know what needs tackling? Rough mornings after having a drink.
Exactly, because when I was in New York a couple weeks ago, me and the boys were like, let's go out, let's go hang out, we're gonna have a night out on the town, it's Pride. I said, y'all, I've got these pre-alcohol drinks with me, you're gonna each have one, and you're gonna thank me tomorrow. And you know what? They did.
You all, summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather.
So before that backyard barbecue brew, or a glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire. Don't forget your Z-Biotics pre-alcohol.
Just drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that summer has to offer.
Go to ZBiotics.com/think to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use think at checkout.
ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/think and use the code THINK at checkout for 15% off.
Be safe and don't be a groggy mess the next day, because you know how Carol and HR hates that.
I don't like the way you looked at me when you said that. So, on the morning of August 3rd, 2000, the Marin County Sheriff's Office gets a call from a homeowner saying, I rent out a studio apartment in my basement and I heard gunshots. And police are like, all right, we're on our way. They arrive and they find Jennifer Valerin and James Gamble shot dead. This apartment was rented by 22-year-old Selena Bishop. Selena is Taylor's girlfriend, and it was Selena's mother and her mother's companion. I don't know why they said companion. It was her boyfriend that were shot and killed in this studio apartment. And now police are like, we gotta find Selena, not because we think she's involved, but we actually believe that she was the intended target and that her mother and her mother's boyfriend happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And adding more confusion and urgency to the whole investigation, they had gone to Selena's work. She worked at a cafe and they were like, yeah, she didn't show up for work. And then someone else piped in and said, you know, she mentioned she was camping in Yosemite with her boyfriend. So immediately, everyone's like, great, who's that guy? And everyone at their work's like, you know what? Actually, we don't know. All we know is he lives with his brother. And then they say this.
And incredibly, coworkers find her pager.
So the only thing the coworkers knew about Selena's boyfriend was that he lived with his brother. And it just so happens that Selena left her pager at work. And police confiscated the pager, went through it, and were able to locate the brother's boyfriend through a page that he sent. Remember pagers?
Gather around the campfire, children. Back in the days of landlines, we had pagers. There were this little black box that went beep, beep, and it ordered you to call that person back. That's it, children. That's all it did. No emails, no information, no emojis, no selfies, just a number. A mystical, magical number that you had to call back. All the excitement, children. You could do wild things like spell boobs if you turned it upside down. That was so fun. And once you got the page, children, now you had to go on a dystopian scavenger hunt to find a payphone to call that person back. Someone might call you and put 911. That meant emergency. You had no idea what kind of emergency it was, children. Maybe your mother needed milk, or maybe your house was on fire. Who knows? But you had to find a phone in order to find out. Oh, the possibilities were endless, children. I'm not even going to go on a diatribe about the payphone, because the pager was really the fun part of it all.
Did you call them pagers? Because we called them beepers.
I think I called it a beeper, and mine was purple see-through, so... Like it was, you could see the inside of the beeper.
Yeah. In New Orleans, if you had a beeper, it meant you were a drug dealer.
Everyone had a beeper. Everyone had a beeper. It was like a cell phone.
Everyone was a drug dealer. So.
And when the police are going through the pager, they find the name Justin Helzer.
From there, what we did is we obtained some photographs from the Department of Motor Vehicles of Justin and his brother, who we identified as Glenn Taylor Helzer.
And they circulated these pictures to see if anyone knew them or knew anything at all. And it was one of Selena's coworkers who was like, holy shit, yeah, that's her boyfriend. That's Taylor. Now they know who they're looking for. And they go to the home that Justin and Taylor share with a now roommate named Dawn.
Now, they don't don't know exactly what they're looking for. They just know something is weird. But when they get to the apartment, they find news clippings of Selena going missing. And there's drugs, and there's firearms, and there's other financial documents that belong to nobody who lives in the house. And they look at all those financial documents, and they belong to someone named Ivan and Annette Steinman. And then, now this is confusing, because they're in Marin, and then they say someone from the Concord Police Department was like, wait, what did you say? Ivan and Annette, we're actually dealing with the missing persons case over in Concord. But here's the thing, I don't really understand why the Concord police were with the Marin police. Bay Area people will know what I'm talking about, but Marin is North Bay, and Concord is East Bay. Concord is like further east than me. We're talking like an hour 40, hour 45 away. That part of the story confused me. The way they made it sound was there was like a cop there saying like, wait, Ivan and Annette, confusing. That confused me. But anyway, Ivan and Annette are a separate missing persons case in Concord, and Selena Bishop is the missing persons case in Marin. I'm just saying that the show left something out there.
Got it. Well, it turns out that Ivan and Annette's bodies, as well as Selena Bishop's body, had been found in a very graphic manner on a nearby body of water. And it's horrifying because if you watch the episode, they'll tell you, I don't feel the need to tell you, it's extremely graphic. And so police immediately were able to arrest brothers Justin and Taylor, as well as roommate Dawn, on a drug charge. That way, while they investigate these homicides, and if there is a connection, none of them have the opportunity to skip town.
Yeah, I read through the appeals for this because I actually really think this is a good show, but I don't think they laid out this timing very well. So I'll clarify at the end.
Okay. One of the problems that investigators faced is that neither Justin, Taylor, or Dawn are talking. They are staying tight-lipped.
Now, while they're researching Justin and Taylor and Dawn, one person that linked to all of them was Carrie.
We had learned by talking to people that Carrie had dated Taylor up until about February of 2000, just a couple of months of when this took place. So we attempted to make contact with Carrie.
So that's when they go to Vegas and go grab Carrie. So this is sort of circling back to the beginning when she's at her promotional tour for the Centerfold. And, you know, the FBI was like, hey, you got great Tetons. Can we have a talk?
Talk about bad timing.
Yeah. And Carrie was offered immunity for any information that she knew. And she's like, I didn't do anything. And I feel really bad for Carrie in this moment because she's explaining that because of her trauma, she's blocked a lot of things out. A lot of memories are really hazy and fuzzy.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we don't really talk about enough. And she was really honest about it. And I found that really vulnerable for her to say. And you see this woman, you know she is not lying.
Yeah.
But the brain really does go the distance to protect us sometimes from memories that we just don't want to relive.
Yeah.
But she's telling them everything she knows, or everything she remembers at least.
Yeah, I mean, she basically went on to explain that Taylor had a God complex and that he was an expert manipulator. And she says, you know, he was talking about taking over the Mormon church and saving the world by importing women from Brazil to become high-end sex workers, starting drug rings, all kinds of insane things to make money. And Carrie says, now listen, yes, I did help him with some of those schemes, but I was just along for the ride. I didn't know the full details of what was going on. In fact, they had taken a trip together to Mexico to buy Rohypnol, which is the date rape drug. And she was like, I basically was going along with it. I did not know what his intentions were with using these drugs, but I will tell you, he asked me for the money and I gave it to him.
And it's really clear to the authorities that Carrie was telling the truth. She didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then we meet this journalist from the Contra Costa Times, and she says this.
This was definitely the most complicated case that I've ever covered.
I know the Contra Costa Times. Young Ellen Marsh appeared in the Contra Costa Times in 1996 in the Contra Costa Musical Theater's version of Guys and Dolls.
Hot.
Yeah, it's not really known for sex trafficking and drug rings.
Yeah.
It's more known for like, and look at this squirrel who rides a tricycle. Yeah. I can imagine, Katie girl, this was probably one of your most complicated stories you've told. Joey, sing the people a song.
Call your therapist.
column today. Y'all, in case you don't know by that jingle, this is an ad by BetterHelp.
You know, a lot of people have stress. Did you know this?
No.
And you know what's on the rise? Workplace stress. And let me tell you, the workplace stress that I am under, I got a man over here squawking in my ears, talking about gay stuff. It's Pride Month.
I don't see the problem.
But it is true. Workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health. And in fact, 61% of the global workforce is experiencing higher than normal stress levels.
Well, if you're looking for a solution to that stress, I've got one for you. Therapy can help you navigate whatever challenges the workday or everyday life might bring. I have to tell you, more than ever, I have seen the benefits of therapy at work in my own life.
I see it in your own life because your therapized self is a good influence on me too.
Just wait till I get you to the raves. Listen, you know, life is hard. And you don't need to try to stumble through it blindly. Therapy will give you the tools you need to manage what life throws at us every single day. Whether it's in your family life, your work life, whether it's the state of the world, it can all be overwhelming. But therapy really gives you what you need to navigate those things in a way that feels safe.
And the great thing about BetterHelp, it's all from your home. Because life is always lifing. And sometimes adding one more thing to your to-do list is just really challenging. I totally get that.
And as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise.
Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/I Think Not.
That's BetterHelp.com/I Think Not.
Take care of your brain. We like it.
Call your therapist. Call them today.
Now, even with all this information, they can't figure out how all these people are linked. They don't really have answers until years later when that roommate, Dawn Godman, well, she decided to help out and make it all make sense. Dawn had come into Taylor's life after Carrie had left for LA. But Carrie had met Dawn casually at a party or something, and really all she knew about Dawn was that she had a son.
Yeah. And all that attention that Taylor had given Carrie, well, when Carrie left, he turned his attention to Dawn. And that's because Taylor saw someone he could manipulate.
Yep.
Carrie says, also, while we're on the subject, I do believe that Taylor manipulated his brother Justin too, or was probably even forced to participate. Now, Taylor likened himself to that of a prophet and saw brother Justin and roommate Dawn as his disciples. Totally normal, not unhinged at all stuff. He called them the Children of Thunder. What?
That sounds like a Marvel movie.
Children of Thunder? It sounds like some sort of Christian 80s movie that was meant to scare you about the rapture. You know what I mean? It's next to Thief in the Night.
Okay. I did grow up in the Catholic Church, and I didn't know this because they tell us on the show that there's some deeper meaning. They said that Jesus called his disciples the Sons of Thunder. Did you know that?
I've never heard that in my life. And maybe that's the Mormon Bible.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't think Jesus did nicknames.
Yeah, I don't think Jesus was at the Last Supper being like, we're out at dawn, fuckers! You know what I mean?
Hey, this is Peter. I call him Pecker. Pecker Peter. And here's Johnny Jigsaw. You should see this guy at a jigsaw puzzle. We call him Jigsaw. Sometimes I just call him Jig.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a nickname. Who's over there? Judas, are you coming? Judas, over here. Ugh, I don't even know if he's going to come to this dinner. Anyway.
He was like, you know, I wanted to have Mary Magdalene in here, but they wouldn't let me. But we don't have a nickname for Mary, but we do know she does anal. So hope that helps. All right, disciples, Avengers assemble! You know, like, what the fuck?
We're gonna get so many emails about that. Okay.
Taylor considered himself a prophet, and his brother and Dawn, he considered disciples. Taylor's plans involve a lot of things that he has to do, including murder, but he's doing it in his mind, at the direction of God, and that's how he justifies doing all of the crazy things he does.
Which he documented in his journals.
Oh, did you pause to read the journals?
No, I couldn't, because I am not interested in reading the ramblings of a madman.
Okay, I did. I gained total control by losing all control. Life is such a precious gift, and when I give back to life immediately, life gives more back to me, and therefore I am forever in its debt. What goes around comes around. No punctuation, by the way. There is a higher power than mine, and that is my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of my Father. And in big letters, he writes, as I live these, I see that. I'm not a great writer, but I feel like we're missing some pronouns or prepositions, or that doesn't seem like a complete sentence. I live these, I see that?
I have no idea. Like I said, I'm not trying to put myself in the shoes of a crazy person, but this man really believed he was going to transform America, which would usher in the second coming of Christ. For me, I just thought it would be Belinda Carlisle going back on tour and Jesus would show up and be like, all right, that's enough of that. We're all going. Y'all can stay here we're going.
Belinda Carlisle, that's a deep cut. Good job.
We don't need to hear her sing Heaven is a Place on Earth the octave low.
What group was Belinda Carlisle in?
The Go-Go's. Don't play with me.
Sorry, you're right. So how did the Steinmans work into this? Well, I guess peddling drugs from Mexico wasn't working out so well. So he went back to his love of numbers, and the Steinmans were old clients of Taylor's back when he was a stockbroker. So he went into these people's retirement savings, and they were able to get all of this information because in this little cult group, Dawn was the treasurer and she had all the receipts. So here was the plan. They needed to launder this money, which, unlike what my younger self used to think, money laundering is not running money through a washing machine. You're welcome.
Atta girl.
But they were planning on stealing this money from the Steinmans, but they obviously couldn't do it directly, so they needed a young, naive woman. Enter Selena Bishop.
Yeah, so Taylor started going to raves to find someone. And I'm pretty sure that raves started in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, I mean, I went to some around that time, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You may think that that's weird, for those of you who've never been to a rave or been a part of rave culture. But at raves, that culture is very open. People are super friendly, and you have folks from all walks of life looking to dance and have fun. So it was at a rave that he met 21-year-old Selena Bishop, and he immediately recognized, I can manipulate this woman. So Taylor, brother Justin, and Dawn go to the Steinmans' home. They abduct them at gunpoint.
Under the influence of Rehypnol, the Steinmans are forced to write two checks for $100,000 to Selena Bishop.
And after that occurred, they brutally murdered that sweet old couple right in their home. And Selena didn't really understand what she was doing in this master scheme. But what they needed her to do was to get the money and deposit that money. And she didn't know. She just was, you know, really into Taylor, and she was just doing something for her boyfriend. She didn't know what she was doing. And once that transaction was completed, they also killed sweet, innocent Selena.
Yeah. So what did they do exactly? They just had her open up bank accounts in her name and then had her deposit it into her account?
Yeah, that way their hands would be clear. Anything with a paper trail would have Selena's name on it. And this poor woman, she thought his name was Jordan.
Wow.
They were completely manipulating this poor woman from the get-go. And not only that, she didn't know this was evil dealings at all, because Taylor, who she thought was named Jordan, explained that he was getting an inheritance and he didn't want his ex-wife to come after it. So Selena was like, yeah, babe, I'll do this for you. No problem. She was truly just so innocent in all of this.
Yeah.
And she basically was just a pawn. And then once she was of no use to them and that money was free and clear in her name, obviously she couldn't be a part of it anymore.
Got it.
It's disgusting.
Well, then Taylor's starting to think, you know what? There's a problem here. And that's that Selena's mother has met me. She knows who I am. That poses a threat. So that is why he went and found Selena's mother, murdered her, and her boyfriend just happened to be there, so they killed him too. Now, something that they point out is that they're not sure that the Rohypnol that Taylor purchased with the money that Carrie gave him was used on the Steinmans. They couldn't prove that, but they were certainly convinced that Carrie had no idea what Taylor's true intentions were. In fact, they were like, oh, you have no idea that this man has a violent side. She was blithely unaware. She just thought he was nuts.
I'd heard a little bit about Carrie's association with what happened, and it's just such a crazy story, and it just seems like such a godsend that she got chosen for the magazine when she did. It got her away from Taylor and ultimately might have saved her life.
And when the news breaks, I found this really upsetting. There is this sensational, clickbaity, ridiculous headline, and it says, "Nude model, five bodies, and Mormon assassination plot." Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we need anything more ridiculous in the news. The news is already ridiculous enough. That is the most ridiculous. It's such a clickbait. Nude model. Get the fuck out of here. All of the women involved, well, not Dawn, but Carrie and Selena, they are just innocent bystanders in this whole psycho man's plot. It's so upsetting.
It's irresponsible journalism because you're ruining someone's life. And in fact, she was a victim.
Yes, exactly.
Carrie says, you know, what I'm convinced of is that had I not left and gone to do Playboy, he would have killed me.
Yep.
And it's one of the few times that Playboy can actually say we saved someone's life.
Yeah.
Literally.
Exactly. They're like, well, we kind of didn't get in the thick of it here. So all three of them, Taylor, his brother Justin, and Dawn, were all charged with 5 counts of murder and pled guilty. Dawn received a 38-year sentence in exchange for testifying against Taylor and Justin. Even Carrie had to testify against Taylor, which must have been so hard.
Wait, did the brothers plead guilty? I thought it was just Dawn.
Well, that is what the episode said, but actually, not in the episode, Justin pled not guilty by reason of insanity. And his lawyers pled to the court in saying he was a lesser player. He just followed his brother. And he believed that his brother spoke as the prophet of God. And he was found guilty anyway. This is sort of where the episode ends. It just says, you know, Carrie really wanted to tell her story. She's gone on to have a loving partner and a family. But Justin and Taylor received the death penalty.
Yeah. Is that still a thing in California?
So it is, but there's a moratorium on the death penalty in California. I can't remember. For some reason, I think it's 2008, but I could be wrong. But there's a moratorium on the death penalty, but there are still death row inmates at San Quentin.
Got it.
For Carrie, being so closely connected with such a horrible tragedy must feel like a giant weight on your shoulders. But for her, she didn't do anything wrong. She got out of there just in time. She's a survivor of this whole thing.
So I do think Playboy Murders is a good story. I just think this is a very complicated story to tell in 44 minutes. So let me give you a little bit of other information. Both Taylor and Justin were diagnosed as bipolar. And I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that. Because Justin was incarcerated at San Quentin, which, as many of you know, is one of the worst maximum security prisons in the country. And he attempted to die by suicide in 2010 by, this is really graphic, by ramming pens in his eyes. And he did not pass. He survived, but he was left blind with brain damage. And then April 14th of 2013, he did complete suicide, Justin.
Wow.
Yeah. So I do, you know, he was not well. And Glenn Taylor also tried to enter a plea deal in hopes of avoiding the death penalty, but the jury ultimately decided that it was fair to put him on death row. Now, I read through these appeals. I'm getting really good at reading through appeals. So his attorney claimed, oh, this is such bullshit. The technicality, you all, due process is important. Following the law is important. Everybody deserves a fair trial. But this appeal was really very confusing because he appealed on the fact that when they searched the home, they violated his Fourth Amendment rights that said they took materials that weren't included in the search warrant. Because the original search warrant was for the gun used in the double murder. Remember when they went to his apartment, they didn't know about the Steinmans or Selena. They were just going for Selena's mom and the boyfriend. So that warrant was for the gun used in the double murder, evidence of occupancy, and anything else related to Selena Bishop. She was missing at the time. They didn't know that she had been killed. This is where the timeline is confusing. While they were searching the home, within an hour, they got word that remains were found in that river.
Mm.
So then that officer went straight back to get another warrant in order to search further. So it's kind of like a series of events. The timing is very confusing. Anyway, that appeal was denied. All of his appeals have been denied. He is still on death row.
It doesn't matter. You still committed the murders.
I know. It's, you know, it's a due process thing, but they just didn't have all the information. And again, like I was saying, dealing with separate counties so far away, they were dealing with Contra Costa County and Marin County. And so it was just all bullshit. And it's just so much time and resources wasted in these appeals that absolutely go nowhere. Something else that I wanted to say was, remember how at the beginning of the episode, they said that he left the church? He didn't leave the church. He was actually excommunicated from the Mormon church in 1998 because he was using drugs.
Wow.
So I don't know if maybe Carrie told them that information, because that's the information that Taylor Glenn told Carrie, but that's like not even true. This was a very strange episode. Anyway, there were a lot of inconsistencies, and this dude Taylor, he has just tied up the courts in appeals. His last appeal was just January of this year. And they were like, stop.
Yeah.
You're staying there.
Yeah. You know, they never actually tell us on this episode who carried out the murders. I mean, obviously they were all involved, but they don't tell us who actually committed those murders.
That's a great point. I didn't see any of that in my research. You're right. Yeah. Mm. My heart breaks for Carrie, and it's so freaking cool that she came and was like, oh, Playboy Murders, you're going to tell this story? Yeah, I want to be involved.
Yeah.
I think that is amazing.
Yeah.
Say something funny.
Well, it is the 4th of July, and I feel obligated to put in this clip because it does honor the 4th of July in the way that I feel it should be honored. Rick, hit it.
Oh my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Happy birthday, America. It's Jennifer Coolidge. Oh, these gays. They're trying to murder me.
We hope you are having a wonderful summer. We hope to see you on tour in August. Please check out our Patreon and don't forget to follow us on social media.
You can find us on all platforms at I Think Not Pod. Also join our Facebook group to keep up with our announcements and also connect with other DBs. And that is called the I Think Not Podcast Facebook discussion group. Again, we will be out on tour in August. It's going to be a great time. Grab your tickets before they sell out. And we hope you having a blessed summer.
I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Taylor Marie Marshall. Now will you do me?
I love you down, bitches.
Bye.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna go pee. Yeah, it's why I could never go to Coachella, because you're in this giant crowd and you try to get a good spot, and then I would just be going back and forth, back and forth.
That's the reason you can't go to Coachella.
I mean,
I think you can't go to Coachella because you're 25 years too old to go to Coachella, but call me crazy.
You know what? I don't like your attitude. Bjork said I could rave till I was 80, and I believe Bjork, okay?
You know what? I simply couldn't go to Coachella. I pee a lot.
Also, all that dust. All you do is eat dust.
That and Burning Man. I will never understand how people make it their entire personality. They're like, I can't do that job. I've got Burning Man in 6 months. No, absolutely not.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.